This is producer rockstar Greg with the Michael Medved Show, wishing all of you a very happy new year. From all of us at the Medved crew, we hope you had a great time celebrating over the holidays with friends and family. Looking ahead to this new year, so much happening in 2020, all of it culminating in a very important election in November. We're going to spend every day talking about issues that matter, news that affects your life, and continue to provide important perspective that values principles and truth above all else. We want to invite you to join us along the way. You can do that by making the decision to become a Medhead this year. It's just $5 a month when you sign up for an entire year. You know by now, you've heard me say it dozens of times. With your membership, you get access to the daily 3-hour broadcast. You can listen to 2 new podcasts we're doing. And you also get access to a really cool resource, which is Michael's 1-minute commentaries, which go back years and years. And Tomlin's Take, a feature that I do where I throw stories Michael's way and then I also weigh in on them. So take that leap. Become a Medhead now. Go to MichaelMedved.com. Click on the Medhead banner and subscribe.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day when a very painful mystery seems to be on the way to solution. Everybody wondering what happened with that horrible plane crash that claimed 176 lives, the largest number of them Canadian, as a matter of fact. The Prime Minister of Canada has just spoken. The Canadian intelligence has found out how that plane came down. U.S. officials had talked about it earlier today. We will get to that and what it means in the longer term for the Middle East. We'll also be speaking to Michael Anton, who was a member of the National Security Council's staff in the early days of the Trump administration. He is identified with the America First approach in foreign affairs. How does President Trump's handling of the Iran crisis comport with the approach of people that Michael Anton has praised in the past, like Ron Paul? Rand Paul is not happy with the way things are going. Most American people are. There is polling now on the strike against Soleimani, and most people take what I believe to be the reasonable point of view, which is that if we can continue to stand down and to pull back from an actual intense war against Iran, this will be a great gain for America and for the world. We will also be talking about the use of killer robots in military confrontations like this one with one of the world's leading experts, and that's no kidding, on AI, on artificial intelligence, and a new high-tech strategy, well, not so high-tech, it involves bagpipes, for dealing with the homeless crisis in California. We will get to that as well on a very busy day on the Medved Show. First off, the Prime Minister of Canada just spoke, Justin Trudeau. Remember, he won re-election, despite the fact that his opponent, his conservative opponent, actually got more votes in Canada. It's the way that the districting goes up north of the border. Prime Minister Trudeau just spoke, and he said that the Canadian intelligence has actually found out that the plane that went down, it was a Ukrainian Airlines plane, was a shot down accidentally, everyone seems to believe, by an Iranian missile. Here is Prime Minister Trudeau. Here is what the Prime Minister of Canada had to say about the tragic loss. I believe there were 85 Canadians on board the plane among the 176 passengers and crew who died. Listen.
Important developments regarding the potential causes of this deadly crash, developments of which Canadians should be made aware. The news will undoubtedly come as a further shock to the families who are already grieving in the face of this unspeakable tragedy. We have intelligence from multiple sources, including our allies and our own intelligence. The evidence indicates that the plane was shot down by an Iranian surface-to-air missile. This may well have been unintentional. This new information reinforces the need for a thorough investigation into this matter. Canada is working with its allies to ensure that a thorough and credible investigation is conducted to determine the causes of this fatal crash. As I said yesterday, Canadians have questions and they deserve answers.
A powerful statement from the Prime Minister of Canada. And my mind is racing ahead, of course, and I'm sure yours is too. He said this may well have been an accident. But what if it's not? What if the Iranians refused to cooperate with any investigation, which would be an admission of guilt? Now, all of this harks back in 1988. In the midst of a military confrontation, naval confrontation, in which under President Reagan, we sank most of the Iranian Navy, which they had been using to harass tankers. And they had had an undeclared war going on with the United States ever since the Ayatollah came in 1979. And in 1988, in the midst of that naval confrontation, the USS Vincennes accidentally, and it was an accident, shot down an Iranian airliner, which went down at the cost of 290 lives. Now, is this different? Yeah, it's very different because they were not in the midst of a war zone or a military confrontation. And certainly one can understand, apparently, what happened, according to all the reports, and I've been trying to go over them. The plane had left Tehran Airport. It was at about 8,000 feet when it was allegedly struck by a missile. And the missile that hit it was Russian, which was very similar to the Russian missile that was used to hit another Ukrainian airliner. You remember that. It was actually not a Ukrainian. It was a Malaysian flight, but it was over eastern Ukraine. And that killed 300 people. That was clearly deliberate. That was not an accident. They knew they were shooting at an airliner. And I know that Putin has denied any kind of responsibility, but of course he's responsible. The question is, if Iran actually deliberately shot down this plane or refuses to allow an investigation, I do think that President Trump would have the ability, together with Prime Minister Trudeau, to enlist most of our significant allies in seriously tightening the pressure and getting rid of this regime, this evil regime, which is already horribly unpopular with its people. This is all very, very, very big stuff. There's a piece in the Journal today, which is just outstanding, in the Wall Street Journal, about the 40-year history of our ongoing war with Iran. And two veterans of the U.S. foreign policy establishment, people who worked in the State Department and Defense Departments under President Bush, and those two people, who are Eric Edelman and Franklin C. Miller, have a terrific column that begins, "The American media and political class worry that the U.S. is on the verge of war with Iran." It isn't, because the war has been underway for 40 years. Largely using surrogates or proxy forces, Iran has killed hundreds of Americans by shooting down civilian planes, bombing U.S. embassies and military barracks, and supplying munitions for attacks on American soldiers in Iraq and elsewhere. With the exception of a brief naval engagement in April 1988, the U.S. responded to Iranian aggression by attacking only surrogates rather than dealing with the source of the problem. Now, with the killing of Major General Soleimani, Washington has sent Tehran an unambiguous message that it can no longer attack Americans with impunity. For the first time since the Islamic Revolution of 1979, the U.S. has taken important initial steps to establish a credible deterrent. Now, does any of that change to the detriment of the United States if, in fact, it is proven and accepted that Iran shot down this Ukrainian airliner? No, it actually makes the situation worse for Iran. And given the fact that the Iranians must know, they must have known fairly early on that this was not just an accident. I mean, the idea that it was mechanical difficulties, there's no evidence of that. The evidence is horrifying about them using this Russian missile that they had acquired and taking down the plane. Now, let me go to the New York Times. This is not the Journal. This is the New York Times. They report just hours ago, United States intelligence agencies believe that at least one Iranian missile, it could be more than one, accidentally shot down a Ukrainian jetliner over Iran. American officials revealed Thursday. A tragic coda to escalated military conflict between Washington and Tehran. I don't know if it's a coda. What a coda is, in a piece of music, it's the very conclusion, the grand finale. Okay, this is not the very conclusion. We are not out of the woods on this, given this matter with the airliner. Officials said they had a high level of confidence that the Iranians brought down the airliner by mistake, one American official said. The official said that two missiles fired from an Iranian air defense system, the SA-15, shot down the airliner. Two missiles. The Ukrainian airliner, a Boeing 737-800, went down on Wednesday morning, killing at least 176 people. It had turned back toward the Tehran airport before it crashed in a huge explosion minutes after takeoff, according to an initial Iranian report released on Thursday, today. The report said the plane, bound for Kyiv, the Ukrainian capital, was in flames before it hit the ground and did not send a distress signal. A security camera captured the impact, first the pre-dawn darkness, then a series of blinding bursts of light in the distance, followed by a storm of burning debris in the foreground. No, not mechanical difficulties. The circumstances of the disaster raised suspicions the airliner may have been attacked, perhaps because it was mistaken for an American warplane. The crash occurred just hours after Iran launched a barrage of ballistic missiles at United States targets in Iraq, with Tehran presumably bracing for possible American retaliation. In other words, what they're theorizing is that the Iranians, having struck at American bases, and they did not initially know that they had basically missed, that there had been no casualties, either American or Iraqi, because there are Iraqi troops at those bases too. And in fact, the Iranian media, you want to talk about fake news, they were reporting at the time this plane was shot down, the Iranian media were reporting that there had been 80 dead Americans. 80! Then they scaled it back. No, we only killed 30 Americans. And by the way, the government let that stand because they thought that would please the Iranian people and they'd be thrilled. Oh, great, wonderful. Our noble General Soleimani has been avenged. We have gotten our harsh retaliation and we killed 80 Americans and we... And this is, by the way, one of the problems with fake news, because if anyone in Iran actually believed those news reports that they had killed 80 Americans, they had to be expecting, okay, brace yourself, because President Trump had made it very clear. And they had to expect that if they had killed a bunch of Americans, there was going to be a very dramatic and immediate response on Iran. And what kind of place could they respond to do real damage? Well, it's unlikely they'd hit a civilian airport like the Tehran International Airport. But you can imagine that people around that airport would be very nervous. And then when they see a plane that they don't recognize and it's going back toward the airport, boom, they pull the trigger and take the plane down and 176 lives are lost. The SA-15 missile is designed to operate at medium to very low altitude and intercept both aircraft and guided weapons, according to military documents. It has a maximum range of 15.5 miles. It can intercept aircraft and missiles at an altitude of up to 32,800 feet. This plane was much lower than that. It was reportedly at 8,000 feet when it was hit. The SA-15 can track multiple targets and seek to shoot down two at once, meaning it can fire multiple missiles nearly simultaneously, according to military documents. If they fire two missiles, that's probably what they did. On Wednesday, a spokesman for Iran's armed forces, Abulfazi Shekarchi, spoke to the Iranian news media. He said the crash was absolutely not the result of any military action. This is why the whole world, of course, always believes the Iranian media. And this is, by the way, it's a problem in any totalitarian country like this where they have total control and the media are known to lie. This is ridiculous. Mr. Sakharchi was quoted as saying, most of the passengers on this flight were our valued young Iranian men and women. Actually, no. There are only 13 Iranians on the plane. It was mostly Canadians and others. Some Germans on the plane. Whatever we do it for the protection and defense of our country and our people. Oh, absolutely. President Trump spoke about this morning. He was doing a press availability on an environmental policy, but he ended up speaking about this 737 crash. Listen.
What do you think happened at that plane?
Well, I have my suspicions. It was very, I don't want to say that because other people have those suspicions also. It's a tragic thing when I see that. It's a tragic thing. But somebody could have made a mistake on the other side, could have made a mistake. It was flying. It was flying in, not our system, no, it has nothing to do with us. It was flying in a pretty rough neighborhood, and somebody could have made a mistake. Some people say it was mechanical. I personally don't think that's even a question, personally. So we'll see what happens. Something very terrible happened. Very devastating.
Okay. Probably would have been better if he had waited to say anything until he could speak with some authority like Prime Minister Trudeau did. But it now appears, and I think with a fair degree of certainty, the Iranians are not allowing Canadians who want very much to be there because of the high number of Canadians who are on board that flight. And by the way, why Canadians fly? First of all, Canada has a very large Ukrainian-Canadian population. There are a lot of people who have come from Ukraine and who live in Canada. And apparently there were some Iranian-Canadians who were also on that flight, who had been visiting family in Iran and were going back home to Canada. The Oleksiy Danilov, who's Secretary of the National Security and Defense Council of Ukraine, our ally, said that investigators were following up on reports that fragments of a Russian-made Tor surface-to-air missile, a system widely used by Iran, had been found near where the plane, a Boeing 737-800, came down. Ukraine was negotiating with Iran to allow the investigators to search the crash site near Tehran for possible rocket fragments, he told a Ukrainian news outlet. The possibilities of a terrorist act, a collision with an airborne object such as a drone, and an engine explosion were also being examined as possible cause of the crash, Mr. Danilov said on his Facebook page. It has now, literally within just the last couple of hours, become clear. It was an Iranian missile. So what happens here? I think what happens here is the world community, and this is one where the United States does not need to take the lead role. It is appropriate that Canada take the lead role and that President Zelensky of Ukraine speak out. They need clarity. They need full accessibility. They need transparency from the Iranian government. because with a tragedy of this nature, it is outrageous to keep it hidden. We did not do that when we had our tragic mistake, and it was a mistake, of shooting down an Iranian airliner in 1988. 1988 is a very long time ago. And again, everything has gotten better at this point, except the loss of life here, 176 people dead. There's nothing better about that. I actually do believe that this will reduce the chances of more military confrontation. The markets have reacted. How exactly we will get to that and more coming up on the Medved Show. I'm here with Pete Talbot, who together with his son Seth has basically developed, invented Relief Factor. But this was based upon some very intensive medical research. And what did that research show?
Well, basically, a lot of supplements use token amounts of ingredients and say, hey, we've got 20 ingredients in this one pill. All you do is take one a day. Well, what we decided to do is do the research, and our doctors did that. And they selected four key ingredients that are in Relief Factor based upon the studies. And we used the dosage in Relief Factor that the studies actually said was required to affect change.
It is no drugs, no side effects of any kind, just good, healthy stuff that's good for your body. Call 833-654-PAIN. It's toll-free, 833-654-PAIN. Or go to the website michaelmedved.com and click on the big banner for Relief Factor. On the Michael Medved Show, the result of all of the recent events in Iran, together with China confirming that, yes, there is a trade deal with the United States, and in fact, one of their top officials is actually going to be coming over to our country, to Washington, to solidify that trade deal in the next few days. With all of that, the Dow's up almost 200 points, which is just, it's too wonderful, and it's certainly good news. And it indicates that these polls that have come out that show that Americans are split. Actually, with one of these polls, I do have to call foul on it. They have a big, huge, rich press release with all the details and the polling and everything. And it's page after page after page. It's from Ipsos. And they say, new Ipsos polling for USA Today finds that Americans are generally split on the killing of Iranian General Qasem Soleimani. And then they give you the actual numbers. 33% of Americans opposed his killing. 25% say they don't know. They say, General who? They don't know. They don't care. So let's see. 33% say, no, we're opposed. And 42% say, good idea. Way to go, President Trump. Okay, 42 to 33 is not an even split. It's just not an even split, guys. Come on. And I do think if you talk to people and you limit the polling to people who may have heard about General Soleimani or know anything about the guy and his bloody and hideous history, there will be much broader support registered for President Trump. So what about the part of this poll? Same poll where it says that 55%, a clear majority, say his killing won't make us safer. Well, in the midst of all this conversation about war and potential war, of course people are going to say that. And there's also an idea of jinxing things, and I do want to be careful about that. There's an expression in Yiddish, kanayin hara, which means no evil eye. Don't give yourself bad luck by saying things are all working out too well, because at precisely that moment, then boom, something terrible happens. But I do think that we stand a better chance in our dealings with Iran than we have at any time, maybe even since going all the way back to 1979. And certainly Barack Obama did not make it better with Iran by doing that Iran deal, in which, no, it's not true that he paid them lots and lots of American money. What he did was he released Iran's own money, which we had frozen because of their many crimes. The ongoing reaction, President Trump, when he was again doing a conference on environmental policy, and what he was talking about was actually trying to make it easier to get things done by speeding up a regulation process, which is perfectly valid, it's not controversial. But of course, the press took advantage of the opportunity to ask the president a number of questions, and the president spoke about what taking out Soleimani meant. Listen.
We caught a total monster, and we took him out, and that should have happened a long time ago. We did it because they were looking to blow up our embassy. We also did it for other reasons that were very obvious. Somebody died. One of our military people died. People were badly wounded just a week before. And we did it. And we had a shot at him, and I took it, and that shot was pinpoint accurate. And that was the end of a monster. Then, and that was really, that was the second attack. That was not, we didn't start it. They started by killing one of our people and wounding badly other of our people. So that you call retribution. Ukraine, if you look at what happened with Ukraine, that's a hoax. Well, this is a hoax, too. Iran went in, and they hit us with missiles. Shouldn't have done that, but they hit us. Fortunately for them, nobody was hurt. Nobody was killed. Nothing happened. They landed. Very little damage even to the base. They landed. But we had a chance to take out a monster. We took him out, and it should have been done a long time ago.
Okay, I'm not sure what he's talking about with, or Jeremy, do you understand what he means about the Ukraine hoax there? It's, I mean, I know impeachment is a hoax and Mueller is a hoax and everything's a hoax. By the way, he was asked today if he thought that climate change was a hoax. He said, no, it's a very serious problem. That ought to get some news because it was, after all, a press conference about environmental policy. He was also asked about this Democratic effort, which is not particularly helpful. I know there are a lot of people, very sincere people, conservative people, libertarian people, people who believe that a president should not have unlimited authority, that he should get congressional authorization. But the point about this particular resolution coming right now in the midst of an impeachment crisis, in the midst of a crisis with Iran, this doesn't make us stronger in dealing with Iran. This doesn't send a message like every other president would receive, that the country is behind you. Stand up for the country. I mean, and honestly, if they even pass this resolution in the Senate, and I don't think they will, it doesn't mean anything. Kevin McCarthy actually said it very well. He said this is like sending out a message about ice cream day or a resolution. It is a congressional resolution. It has no enforcement mechanism. It doesn't limit President Trump's power. He was asked about it. And President Trump said this.
Would you seek congressional approval?
It would all depend on the circumstance. I don't have to, and you shouldn't have to be able, because you have to make split-second decisions sometimes. Sometimes you have to move very, very quickly, John. But in certain cases, I wouldn't even mind doing it. You know what bothers me? When I see a Nancy Pelosi trying to defend this monster from Iran, who's killed so many people, who's so badly, I mean, so many people are walking around now without legs and without arms, because he was the big roadside bomb guy. He was the one that sent him to Afghanistan, had sent him to Iraq. He was big. That was his favorite thing. He thought it was wonderful. He doesn't think it's wonderful anymore. When Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats want to defend him, I think that's a very bad thing for this country. I think that's a big losing argument politically, too.
Okay, he's right, of course, but they don't. In fairness, there are no Democrats who have tried to defend Soleimani. In other words, the normal Democratic talking point, I've heard it 1,000 times, is we don't shed any tears for Soleimani. He was a bad guy, but, and then they come and express their opposition to Trump. This is why what Doug Collins said, Doug Collins, the congressman from Georgia, is not acceptable. He said that, he said, I don't know why Democrats love terrorists. They love the terrorists more than they love our troops. And that's a terrible thing to say, and I wish he hadn't said it. President Trump added this about Iran and its nuclear
ambitions. Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon.
Amen.
Iran will never have a nuclear weapon. They understand that. We have told them very strongly. Iran now is not wealthy like it was when President Obama handed them $150 billion. They're a much different country. We'll see whether or not they want to negotiate. Maybe they want to wait till after the election and negotiate with a weak Democrat, somebody like a Biden or a Pocahontas or Buttigieg or one of these characters. Okay, maybe they want to wait. But I think they're probably well off doing it now, because if you look at the polls and if you look at what's going on, we're doing very well.
That's President Trump this morning. Vice President Pence also spoke. We will get to what he had to say. And more about the best way to make the arguments for the president's Iran policy. That argument being made in logical and very forceful terms by two former Bush officials. We'll get to that and more coming up. This is Michael Medved, and I'm here with Nick Rovich of American Federal. And you may have noticed out there, it has been a great year for precious metals. I mean, up, 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 because of the market turbulence. But that scares away some people from investing right now. Nick, explain why people don't need to be afraid about buying while the market is going up.
It's very emotional. People get stuck in trying to time the market. And as we know, whether it's the stock market or the gold market, it's almost an impossible thing to do. More often than not, what will happen, and I can tell you examples, people, they'll stay at $1,200 or $1,300 an ounce, and they wait for it to go down, and then it pops up to $1,500, and they finally buy. So by trying to overthink it, they're not thinking about what their goal is. Their goal is to put some hard metal away for a rainy day, and timing, it's not always possible.
800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694. Never a better time to invest now. Here's some breaking news on the U.S. economy. 62% of construction firms reported there were few or no qualified applicants for the jobs they need. 62%. And 46% said the shortage of qualified labor was their number one business problem. Now, what does that mean? That means it's a great time to get a job. That means it is a great time to get a raise, which has been happening. We have been having raises across the country and in jobs pretty much everywhere. Now, all of that is good news. It is not being disrupted because of this foreign policy situation with Iran. And I do think that Iran, whatever position they had, and Iran was very much isolated from most of the world, except from the criminal government in Syria and the Russian intermittent support they get from Russia. But honestly, if you take a look even at the European nations that wanted to maintain the Iran deal, they are not showing support or sympathy for Iran. 1-800-955-1776. You know who is, though? And it's not Democrats in general. It isn't. But Chris Matthews made a comparison which, honest to goodness, is really, really tough to justify. He was talking about the death of Soleimani and what it meant to Iranians. Listen.
Let me ask you about what we should have done. I go back to the congressman on this. You know, when some people die, we, you know, you don't know what the impact's going to be. When Princess Diana died, for example, there was a huge emotional outpouring. These kinds of, Elvis Presley in our culture. It turns out that this general we killed was a beloved hero of the Iranian people, to the point where, look at the people we got pictures of now, these enormous crowds coming out. There's no American emotion in this case, but there's a hell of a lot of emotion on the other side. Should our leaders know what they're doing when they kill somebody?
Yes, they should, but comparing an international terrorist who has been declared an international terrorist by everybody, including the Obama administration, comparing him to Elvis Presley and Princess Diana? Really? Really? Now, that's not a defense of Soleimani, but it's missing the point that totalitarian regimes, as we talked about, that there were more people who died in the funeral of Stalin than one of the most evil people ever lived, who came out to his funeral. It doesn't somehow make him a beloved hero. And in fact, this beloved hero had just participated in the murder of 1,500 of his fellow citizens who were protesting the regime. And a lot of those protesters are not in love with Soleimani. Of course, in the wake of the funeral and all the emotion, they're not going to speak up. I do think that Doug Collins, I mentioned before what he said. Here is what it actually sounded like, so you can hear it for yourself.
It just is amazing. I mean, if it wasn't so sad and serious with our country to have Nancy Pelosi, I did not think she could become more hypocritical than she was during impeachment. But guess what? Surprise, surprise. Nancy Pelosi does it again, and her Democrats fall right in line. One, they're in love with terrorists. We see that. They mourn Soleimani more than they mourn our Gold Star families, who are the ones who suffered under Crazy. Soleimani. That's a problem.
They mourn Soleimani more than they mourn our Gold Star families. That's over the line, don't you think? And Doug Collins, who's been such an effective defender at the Judiciary Committee for President Trump, I do think you can't say that they're mourning Soleimani more than Gold Star families. Of course, mainstream media are finding all kinds of Democrats who have lost a lot in wars, like Tammy Duckworth, who lost the use of, I think she lost both of her legs lower down, fighting in Iraq. And Senator Duckworth was not happy with what Congressman Collins had to say. Mike Pence is defending taking out Soleimani, and I think doing so effectively. Here's the vice president. It's number one there, Jeremy.
Well, some of that has to do with what's called sources and methods, Savannah, if we were to share all of the intelligence, and in fact, some of the most compelling evidence that Qassem Soleimani was preparing an imminent attack against American forces and American personnel also represents some of the most sensitive intelligence that we have. It could compromise those sources and methods. So look,
even in a classified
setting. I have tremendous respect for Senator Mike Lee. I recognize he's had a difference of opinion with our administration over self-defense measures the president authorized in Yemen. But look, we'll welcome those debates going forward, but I can assure your viewers that those of us that have seen all the evidence, that saw the evidence in real time, know that President Trump made the right decision to take Qassem Soleimani off the battlefield. America is safer. The world is safer. Now, even after the Iranian response, no American casualties, and Iran is standing down.
What Eric Edelman and Franklin Miller write in the Wall Street Journal is now, with the killing of Major General Qassem Soleimani, Washington has sent Tehran an unambiguous message that it can no longer attack Americans with impunity. For the first time since the Islamic Revolution of 1979, the U.S. has taken important initial steps to establish a credible deterrent. Deterrence is effective, they write, when an enemy is convinced that the cost of an action will outweigh the gains. Until now, the Iranian leadership has suffered no losses to its own valued assets as a result of killing Americans. Soleimani's habit of taunting U.S. officials during his travels around the region was testimony to his belief that he could act against the U.S. without consequences. The Ayatollahs had evidently concluded they had a free hand to harass American troops. Soleimani's death is the first time the regime has lost something it valued in its conflict with the U.S. The Trump administration was right to make clear that America will impose significant costs on the regime until its state-sponsored hostage-taking, murder, and other forms of terrorism cease. There's no need to threaten a ground war or to respond rashly to Iran's Tuesday attacks on U.S. military facilities in Iraq, which did minimal damage. The U.S. has the military capacity to inflict severe damage on Iran without an invasion. And yes, that's important. Mike Pence also spoke this morning about President Trump having previously criticized our intelligence agencies and now relying on them. Is that a contradiction? Listen.
I can tell you, in President Donald Trump, the American people have a leader that is always going to ask the tough questions, whether it be military personnel or intelligence personnel. But I can tell you, I was there every step of the way, Savannah, and we were gathering intelligence in real time that was brought to the president. That Qassam Soleimani was planning imminent attacks in response to our airstrikes on five Iranian-backed militia bases. He was planning imminent attacks that were larger in the region against American forces. And President Donald Trump put American lives and American protection first.
And I do think that, and together with what was written by Edelman and Miller, That's the real issue here. And ultimately, I do believe it will play out politically. There is a great deal of political news. Apparently, one of the Democratic candidates has sort of woken up and understood that this candidate may have a very, very narrow base. Which one? We will get to that. Also, to the future of killer robots and Trump foreign policy. That and much more in this greatest nation on God's green earth.